in a mighty way. Bless like you've never blessed before. Open up ears and open up hearts, Lord. Remove me right now. Stand up in me in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God and amen. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you the day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. Our scripture is found today in Luke 24, 1 through 12. But the background scripture is in Luke 23, 50 through 56. And my Bible reads like this, the New Living Translation. But very early on Sunday morning, somebody say Sunday morning. The women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you here looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back home from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and several other women who told the disciples what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. So they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. You may be seated. Our title for today you see on the screen is "Don't Let the Stone Stop You." Don't let the stone stop you. I'm not sure how you have imagined this narrative of what happened when the women got to the tomb. But sometimes I like to just imagine how stuff was really looking. Come on. You know, they say that the place where Jesus was buried was not far from where he was crucified. We have the women followers of Jesus. The women followers of Jesus out early on Sunday morning. And that was the first day of the week. And they had the spices that they had prepared for Jesus' body, only to discover the tomb of Jesus was empty. The stone was rolled away. And after looking in the tomb, the body of Jesus was gone. Jesus was crucified on Friday, Thursdays by some accounts. Then his body was entombed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. This Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the council who crucified Jesus. But he did not agree with what they were doing. He felt that it was wrong. So after they crucified Jesus, Joseph went to Governor Pilate and requested the body of Jesus. And he was waiting on Jesus' body so that he could take it to his own tomb. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, and he had already paid for his funeral expenses, his plot. And you know, now we advise people who are not donating their bodies to science to try to make your funeral arrangements now. Because the Bible says, appointed once, we will live once, but we're going to die for sure. We're going to die for sure. And whether you die going to heaven and hell, that's between you and Jesus. But you are going to die. And to make your funeral arrangements while you're living, it will show how much compassion you have on your family. Because sometimes at times like this, that is just too stressful to do. Well, it's too stressful to do. If you ever had to do it when arrangements were not made, it is very stressful. But when arrangements are made, all you have to do is make a call. All you have to do is make a call. So you don't want to burden your family. Okay. We're trying to make the arrangements. Joseph of Arimathea was more, his tomb was more than likely carved out, you know, very fancy like, into a rock, a big rock, or a mountain, a hill, or something. And that was his tomb. He had already made arrangements, it was already there. And the tomb was in the garden that was near the crucifixion. The women who were at Jesus' crucifixion had followed Joseph to where Jesus was laying. So their job was to take the spices and the aloes and the ointments to smear on the body of Jesus. This was their process of embalming. This was their process of embalming. And then wrapped the body in linen strips. And this was a normal ceremony for people who had died. But what happened was when they tried to do it on Friday when Jesus was crucified, when he died, that was the Sabbath and time was running out. And so they didn't have the opportunity to do what they needed to do. So here it is, Sunday morning after Passover. Sunday morning, they are following Joseph of Arimathea to get Jesus' body. They did this on Friday, and then Sunday, they're going, they got all their spices and stuff made up, Friday and Saturday. I don't know how they made them up, but they had them made up to take on Sunday morning. But they had one issue in mind, one issue, because they knew where he was because they had followed him. Yeah. They had one issue, the stone in front of the tomb. How are they going to get into the tomb with the stone there? How are they going to get in there? But they proceeded on to the tomb. The thought of how they was going to do it was hard in their minds. But their faith in their hearts kept them moving. They did not let the thought of the stone stop them from doing what it was they needed to do. A lot of times, we can have a situation in our lives, and we think of all the barriers, all the mishaps of everything that could happen before we even start out. Don't let that stone stop you. When the Lord gives you something to do, you got to have faith that somehow the stone's going to be moved. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to have faith in God. Mm-hmm. got to have faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot let things that might be in your future stop you from in your present. Because Jesus is Alpha and Omega. Is that right? Deacon Beasley? He is Alpha and Omega. He knows the beginning to the end, and the end from the beginning. So if you got your trust in Jesus, if your trust is in Jesus Christ, you cannot let the thought of a stone stop you. Even if it's a real stone, you can't let it stop you. You cannot let it stop you. So they got there, and they seen the angels. And they robes was all sparkly. I can imagine that they had on some real pretty robes, and they was just kind of little glow on them. You know, like if you had put flashlights behind them or something, that they had a little glow on them. And they standing there where the guards were standing. What happened to the guards? Guards weren't even there. They standing there where the guards were standing. And when the women got there, the thought of the stone didn't stop them. But when they seen these angels, they got kind of afraid. They got kind of afraid. And the angel said, "What in the world are y'all doing up here at the cemetery looking for Jesus? Why are y'all up here at the cemetery? Only dead people at the cemetery. Jesus is alive. He lives. Why are y'all at the cemetery?" And they said, "He lives." And they stuck their head in the tomb. There wasn't no Jesus in there. And then the angels said, "Jesus told you, he told you what would happen. He told you that he will be turned over to sinful men, and he will be crucified, buried, but on the third day, he was going to get up." Did y'all turn the heat up in here? He said on the third day that he was going to get up. The angels remembered. And then after the angels told them, they remembered. The angels knew that the woman knew. They knew that Jesus had told them this. And then they got excited. Can you imagine after being there on Friday at the foot of the cross and seeing what they did to Jesus. Seeing what they did to Jesus. Took him through a mock trial, mocked up fake trial. Pilate didn't want to deal with it, sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back. Then on the Passover, they always let somebody go. So they let Barabbas go. Barabbas was guilty as can be. Guilty as can be. They let him go and said, "We're going to crucify Jesus." And they put a cross on his back and made him carry it. They beat him till the flesh started coming off his bones, off his skin, off his back. They beat him, and the blood was streaming down. Then he got a little helper to help him carry the cross. And they put him on the cross. They put him on the cross. He could barely talk at this moment. But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then he looked at the thief and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall be with me in paradise on this day. And he looked down and he seen the disciple that he loved and his mother and the other Mary standing beside him. He said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And then he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? It looked like God was not working at this moment. Even Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? It looked like God had taken a nap. And then he got to the point. He said, I thirst. And he said, I'm done with this. I am done. It is finished. And even though his father did not answer him when he said, why have you forsaken me? Even though his father had not said a mumbling word to him, even though he had suffered carrying that cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He started off with, Father, forgive them. The Lord had not answered him. And he ended with, Father, forgive them. For they know not, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And ended with, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Through all of this, his father didn't answer him. But he still was talking to the Father. He still had faith in the Father. Amen. These women had seen the worst of the worst. They had seen the worst of the worst. And then they was upset because Jesus had died on the cross. And it continued to look like God was not working. But the Lord was working. You must remember, when it does not look like the Lord is working, when you feel like your back is up against the wall, God is working. God is working. Yes, he is. David, now we got spiders. David said that he was young, but now he is old. And he has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. See, the Lord was working. It just looked like he wasn't working. The Lord was working. The Lord set this up before the priests could tell their lies that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body. The Lord set this up before the disciples even showed up, before the apostles showed up. The women followers of Jesus showed up. The women follower of Jesus showed up. After Jesus' embalming, the tomb was sealed, and then the guards was guarding it until these women discovered that Jesus was not there. It was them, the women that I mentioned, Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of James, Joanna, and other women. If you do deep study, you'll find out their names. And other women went to embalm our Lord and Savior. Mark tells us that the women had really discussed about that stone that was blocking the tomb. What are we going to do about the stone? How are we going to get that stone out the way? Nobody's with us. They didn't have the disciples with them. They didn't have Joseph or Arimathea there with them. And they knew that the guards were there. But they kept on going. That sounds like an impossible situation. You don't have no men with you. The stone is huge. Blocking like a cave. I don't know if it was round or if it was square, but it didn't make no difference. They was not going to be able to move it. And then plus the guards was there. Would the guards shoot them? With the arrows or whatever kind of weapon that they used? But they kept on moving. They left the house and they kept on moving, even though this was in their minds. They kept on moving. They kept on moving anyway. Even though they was anticipating problems. You can anticipate a problem, but you got to know that God can solve them. You got to have the faith to know that God can solve them. We all anticipate problems in our lives, but we got to have the faith to keep on moving and believe that God can stop them, can change the situation. How many times have you thought about the barriers that you might be facing and stopped? Did you miss your blessing? How many times have you allowed the stones to turn you around? Don't let those stones stop you. Don't let the hills stop you. Don't let the rocks stop you. You may have stopped in your tracks and said, no, I cannot do that. I am not able to do that. Because of the possibility of a stone in the way. And they were thinking there was a possibility for sure that a stone was there. But when they got there, was no stone. We got to be like these women and don't let the stone stop us. We got to proceed anyway. Proceed anyway. Proceed anyway. When the Lord asks you to do something, you have to proceed anyway. When the Lord explains to you and tell you what your purpose is, you have to proceed anyway. When it looked like there's so many obstacles in the way, you have to proceed anyway. Because if you don't, the stone is going to stop you, and the stone will be the cause of you missing out on your blessing. Amen. Don't put God in a box. When you anticipate things in the future that's going to happen to you, you're putting God in a box. You got to have faith in the situation, have faith in God. They got to the tomb, and not only was the stone moved, the tomb was empty. That's two blessings. They anticipated a stone, but the stone was gone, and Jesus was alive. Not one miracle of the stone, but the second miracle that Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Can you imagine after being there at the foot of the cross, and you get there, and the tomb is empty, and the angel tell you, that he lives. He lives. You don't even know what kind of shape he's in, but all you know is that he lives. You don't know what he's going to look like after being beat on that cross, but you know he lives. Yeah. So you don't know what things is going to look like. You got to trust God. Don't let the stone stop you, because Jesus lives. Amen. Jesus lives. He got out of that tomb, out of that grave, for our sins, my sins, for our eternal life, to prepare a life for us. So you cannot let the thought of a stone stop you. Because he died and rose for you. Stones can be moved. Stones can be moved. Don't think that they can't be moved. And you got to have more than piggyback faith. Y'all know what piggyback is. When you riding on somebody's shoulder or on their back. You got to have more than piggyback faith. Because you riding on their faith, what they believe. What do you believe? What is it that you believe? You cannot ride into glory on somebody else's shoulder. And expect the stones in life to be rolled away. You got to have your own faith. And your own faith in God will move the stones away. Stone rolling faith. Stone rolling away faith. I want you to keep that in your mind. That I got stone rolling away faith. Think of the stone that was in front of that tomb. And think about, I have the faith to move that stone. The Lord told us that we would. You know, there was no actual description of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nowhere can you find out how it happened. Nowhere in theological history could I find out what went on in that tomb and what went on when he walked out that tomb. Nowhere. Somebody finds it, please let me know. Please let me know. The stone was moved for our benefit. It was moved for our benefit. The stone was moved so we could see, so that the women that got there could see, so they could go shout it out to everybody that they knew. The stone was moved so we would have faith. Because at this particular time, John tells us that in Jesus' resurrected body, he could pass through material barriers. But the stone was rolled away. We know that Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and the doors was locked because they was in there afraid of what might happen if the Roman soldiers caught up with them. They had just seen Jesus crucified, so they went and locked themselves up in the upper room. But while they was locked up in there, Jesus appeared. The door was still locked. So that means that Jesus did not have to come out with a rock moved away. He could have just come on out. He could have just come on out. But it was for our benefit. It was for our benefit to know that he was put in that tomb. After he was on that cross, he was put in that tomb. And the rock was rolled in front of the tomb. And the guards was guarding the tomb. And then there was no guards. It was just angels. The tomb was empty. The rock was rolled away. And Jesus was gone. That was for our benefit. That was for our benefit. And the women, they went and told the men. And men said, there they go. Talking crazy. But these women was their posse. They was part of the posse. They said, Jesus, the women that were followers of Jesus. So if they was followers of Jesus, that meant they was around all the time. They was around all the time. Jesus had people follow him all the time. These were the women that follow him. These was his close circle. So why the men didn't want to believe them? This was the close circle. They knew that they was gone up there to anoint Jesus' body. Why didn't they want to believe that Jesus lives? They all had forgot. Everybody had forgot what Jesus said until it was said again. We have a listening problem and we have a remembering problem. And sometimes that's what gets us in trouble, because we don't remember what Jesus has said and we don't remember what the consequences are. We have a listening problem and a remembering problem. Some things that Jesus tells you is important for you to remember. Some things are important for you to remember. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Important to remember. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should have everlasting life. Some things we just got to remember. We have to remember. And we have to have our faith and remember that Jesus Christ got on that cross for our sins and he rose again for us. The women were so excited. They were so excited to see that the tomb was empty. They was excited to go tell the men that the tomb was empty. they was excited about that. And the man was like, here we go, here we go, here we go. Except for Peter and John. They went to the tomb and looked in, and they seen it was empty. And Peter says, something amazing has happened here. He is not here. He is not here, but he has risen. When he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man told them what would happen, but they forgot all about it. They forgot all about it. We had to get past forgetting stuff, because all of those disciples could have been rejoicing with the women. You don't want to miss an opportunity to praise God. You don't want to miss an opportunity to praise God. You don't want to miss an opportunity to praise God. You know, a lot of times we look for Jesus in material things. You know, we know different than the women. You know, they had their spices, their ointments, and their oils and everything. And they was going to anoint Jesus because they was looking for Jesus behind that rock. And we sometimes look for Jesus in dead things. We do. We do. Religious traditionalism, religious formality, man's rules, human effort and creativity. Jesus can only be there in a resurrected life. If you have a resurrected life, then Jesus is there. Do you have a resurrected life? Because if you do, where he is, worship in spirit and truth, that is where Jesus will be. When we worship him in spirit and truth, that is where Jesus will be. The women were so excited. He is not here. He is not here. Because that stone was rolled away. And they tell the disciples, and they didn't believe them. We have to have more faith in God. We have to sometime believe the report. We have to believe the report of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we don't want to believe the report because of who's giving the report. They don't want to believe the report of the Lord. They don't want to believe in your faith because they trying to remember what you used to be. A lot of time they get other people tripped up when they think about what you used to be and not seeing who you are now and not believing the report of Jesus Christ. Their minds cannot go further. Their minds can't even go to the stone because they stuck on what you used to be and how you used to be and where you used to be. They get stuck on that. So when you have a report of the Lord, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't even want to believe in your piggyback faith, in piggyback faith. But so that lets us know that we got a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. Everything that we do cannot be centered at 380 Broadway. We got to go out the door. Because there's others out there that need to believe the report of Jesus Christ. Just like the women were excited and ran to tell us, the disciples, that Jesus lives, we got to be just as excited and running out that door to tell this community and people and other children that Jesus lives. We have to, because I know if I had not been brought up in the church, I would not be standing right here right now. Because I've done some things and seen some things you would not believe. You would just fall out flat. No, Rambusa. Yeah, Rambusa. But God. But God. So it's our responsibility to go. Go ye therefore. We cannot have every ministry in the church that is relegated to the people in the church. The people that come to church on a regular basis, the people that come up in Tabernacle, they know Jesus. They know how good he is. That's why they come. The ones out there that don't know, that's where we have to go. We cannot let the stone stop us from going out that door. What is your stone made of? Does your stone look like fear? Does your stone look like laziness? Does your stone look like, oh, no, I got too old for that? Does your stone look like, let somebody else do it? I have done enough. I have done enough. Does your stone look like, I've already did that, and we did not do it that way? What does your stone look like? Don't let these stones stop you. Please don't let the stones stop you. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, of James, and the other women with them who discovered the empty tomb. These women were given a privilege of being the first to tell others of the risen Jesus. These women were given the privilege of being the first to spread the gospel. These women were given the privilege of being the first to preach the good news of Jesus. And when they did, the men didn't believe them. Despite their excitement, despite their testimony, these women had been with the disciples for a long time, yet the women were not believed. In fact, to the apostles, it seemed like they were telling idle tales. But we know from John, he went. He didn't side with all the other ones. He said, maybe they talking about something. Maybe they got something going on. And he looked in there and seen the grave clothes. And the grave clothes didn't look like somebody had busted out of them like the Incredible Hulk. The linen was just laid there and folded. It was just laying there and folded. If these women can have enough faith in a Jesus who they seen die on the cross, they seen him die on the cross. If these women have enough faith to continue on to the tomb and not the thought of the stone stop them from what their mission was, we have enough faith to do what God is commanding us to do. We have enough faith. We cannot just continue to come to church on Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday service, go back home every Sunday, and then come back again on Sunday, go back home on Sunday. Sometimes, you know, it might be good if we don't even open the doors of the church and just go to the street. Come here and meet in the parking lot and just go to the street. Jesus didn't spend all his days in the temple. The only way he was able to heal people, the only way he was able to feed people was out on the street. That's the only way we're going to build you up to win souls to Christ is out on the street. That's the only way. There's too many distractions now. So many distractions. We got to be willing and able. And it's a part for everybody to play. It's a part for everybody to play. But we got to open up our hearts and our minds and say, okay, I'm going to do this today. Take it one step at a time. That's what the women did, one step at a time. So they got there to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. So you don't know what will happen if you just do something. Amen. You just don't know. Just don't know. I don't want to be the person when I get to heaven and Jesus says, well, did you tell anybody about me? How many people did you invite to Christ? You talked about me a lot with your church members, but they already knew me. I didn't expect this sermon was going to turn out like this because this is not how I wrote it down. Well, But this is where the God has given it to you. So, but that's, this is it. In my head, it was going a whole nother way. A whole nother way. But this is how God gave it this morning. I asked him to stand up in me and tell me what he wanted you to hear. And that's what's happening. I bless and praise God because I barely looked at my notes today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So don't let the stone stop you. Don't miss out on your blessings because of a stone. It might just be an imaginary stone. Have faith in God that he will remove the stone. Don't let the stone stop you. He is not there. He is not there because he lives. God bless you. We'd like to open up the doors of the church at this particular time. It might have been somebody that came in after the welcome. And you want to have a relationship with God, but it's been a stone in the way. It's been a stone in the way. You can come by letter. You can come by Christian experience. You can come to be a candidate to be baptized. You can also come by watch care. If you're looking for a church home, this is a home, and it's a church. You might just want to rededicate your life to God. If that's what you want to do, is rededicate your life to God so that you won't have no stones in the way. Is there anyone? We open up the altar for altar call, for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning in the only way we know how. Father God, I'm asking right